Born with spinal bifida, Ryan Chalmers has never had the full use of his legs, but that hasn't stopped him from going places. The 24-year-old New York State native became an accomplished wheelchair athlete, competing in the marathon in last year's Paralympics in London. But right now, Ryan is in the middle of a journey that has him traveling the distance of 2 to 3 full marathons every day. On April 6th, he left from Los Angeles for a trip across the country to New York City, pushing himself along on his racing wheelchair. Ryan calls the trip Push Across America, a way to draw attention to the potential for accomplishment inside every person with a disability. Yesterday, Ryan arrived in Champaign-Urbana, the home of his alma mater, the University of Illinois, and he's taking a little time off from the road to talk with us on Focus today. And your calls and emails are welcome. I'm Jim Meadows. Focus comes your way after the news. Welcome to Focus. I'm Jim Meadows. Ryan Chalmers is our guest today, and right now he's at the center of a project called Push Across America. You can learn about it on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and at pushacrossamerica.org. There are a lot of projects where people walk, run, bike, even use wheelchairs to cover long distances, but there's usually a message attached that transcends the simple physical effort. For Ryan Chalmers and Push Across America, it's a message about what people with disabilities can accomplish, no matter what other people think or perhaps what they themselves sometimes fear. And you can ask Ryan about both the Push Across America journey and the cause it promotes during this hour of Focus. Just call in at 333-9455 or toll free at 1-800-222-9455. That's 333-WILL or 800-222-WILL. You can also email us at will-talk@illinois.edu. We also welcome your questions on Facebook and Twitter at Focus580. Ryan Chalmers, welcome to Focus.
Thank you very much.
And, you know, I just cannot imagine the physical ordeal of doing something like this. How are you feeling?
I'm actually, we're doing all right. You know, we're on schedule, and I'm feeling good. I have a great team that comes across the country with me, and my athletic trainer, Carla Wessels, who it helps me recover each night after I'm done with my 60 miles, has done a great job, you know, getting me from point A to point B.
Now, 60 miles a day, if you were training for a marathon, which is, I gather, pretty much the top endurance level for a wheelchair athlete who's doing racing, you wouldn't do 60 miles a day, would you?
No, ever since I got to the University of Illinois in 2007, I really focused on marathons. And, you know, typically for training for a marathon, you don't even do a marathon that much. You don't even go 26.2 miles. You know, you'll fluctuate between 15 to 22 miles. Before this push, you know, the farthest that I've ever gone is really, you know, 34 miles. We just kind of do it for fun, you know, in the summer occasionally. But before this, yeah, it wasn't really too many distance under my belt.
So what do you do to ramp up the 60 miles?
You know, I didn't really change my training too much as I focused on the Push Across America. I was so focused on London, the Paralympic Games. And after I got back from Paralympic Games, I kind of transitioned a little bit. I worked with my coach, Adam Blakeney, here at the University of Illinois. And he kind of talked to me about what my training would be. And it didn't really change too much. I added a little bit of weight training so that I would gain a little bit of weight, a little bit of muscle mass. So that, you know, going across the country, going 60 miles a day, you lose a little bit. You use a lot more calories than you're used to. So I wanted to gain a little bit of weight before I started the push. And then, you know, I did a couple, you know, 30 milers that maybe I wouldn't have if I wasn't training for the push. But basically, you know, my coach told me, no matter what, you know, this isn't something you can fully train for. And, you know, you can't really get your body used to 6 to 8 hours in your racing chair, you know. So it was one of those things where he said, you know, you don't really want 2,000 miles under your belt before you actually start the Push Across America campaign. And so we kind of, you know, made sure that I was physically ready. And then the big part of it was just getting mentally ready for it, because there was just a lot of times where going across the country, you know, you may be in the middle of nowhere, or you're just pushing by yourself for 3, 4, 5 hours in a day. And you just have to be mentally prepared for that.
And I take it, you know, you come with a team. There are people traveling with you. I take it they're probably not in chairs alongside you, but they're around.
Yeah.
But at the same time, when you're doing it, it's not like you can carry on a conversation with them.
There's sometimes where they'll jump on a bike and hang out with me for, you know, 15, 20 miles. Sometimes they'll even come on for the entire ride if they want to. And so I sometimes I do have entertainment. My current roommate here at the University of Illinois, Aaron Pike, he's also a Paralympian. He's come on the trip as well. And so sometimes he'll jump in his racing chair next to me and push, you know, 15, 20 miles as well. So there are some days where I do have people that push us on the side of me or bike next to me. And then other days, you know, it's me by myself.
I would think going through the flat prairie of Illinois, at least the flat former prairie of Illinois, is relatively easy. But you must have gone through some fairly punishing terrain between Los Angeles and here.
Yeah, you know, all the terrain's been so different going across the country early on. Yeah, it was a lot of climbing, getting all the way through to Colorado. So a good portion of what we've already done has been just climbing, and my body definitely had to get used to it. Here in Champaign, Illinois, you know, there's not really too many mountains to climb. And so I had to get ready for that, but I had to do it while I was pushing across the country. So, you know, my hands got cut up a little bit more than they would have because my hands weren't really used to climbing because of the gloves that I use. And so, and then my back and my wrists. So there's different portions of what kind of took its toll when I was going across the country, especially during the climbing days.
You went through some desert terrain as well, didn't you?
We did. Yes, there's definitely, we've gone through a day of, you know, a sandstorm, which was oh so fun. And we've definitely gone through, you know, the desert part. We've gone through, you know, southern Utah where there was snow on the ground when we're, you know, 7,000 feet up. And so it's been great.
Great. That's a good word to remember. And tell me about the idea behind Push Across America. I know the project is hosted by a group called Stayed Focused. Roger Mueller is with Stay Focused, and we'll be talking with him later in the show. Did Stay Focused think this idea up, or was this your idea?
This was a casual conversation that Roger Mueller and I were having, actually in the Cayman Islands where we run the programs. And, you know, we were just having a coffee, and he actually heard about a guy who was going to run across the country. And in just some casual conversation, you know, he asked if I thought I could push my racing chair across the country. And I knew I wanted to make a difference in the organization, and this was a perfect opportunity for me to do that because it was able to put my passion of wheelchair racing and my passion of the organization to be able to make that difference. And then we've kind of gone with it ever since.
So the main message of Push Across America, what is it and who is it for?
You know, it's pretty much for everybody. You know, one of the main goals that we have is going across the country is to raise awareness for all persons with disabilities, but show people, you know, able-bodied or not, you know, if you're passionate, you set goals for yourself, you can accomplish anything.
Was there a time in your life when you really needed this message?
You know, I think that everybody needs that message. You know, I think that, you know, doing something difficult, doing something that you don't think that you can, you need to have a reason. You need to have a phenomenal reason to be able to do those sort of things. I remember going, you know, early on stages of the push, you know, where there was times where I had to just literally just stop for a second and just think, like, because I was going through, you know, 95 degree weather, or I was just pushing up a mountain for 5 hours, and I just had to stop and think for a moment and remember the reason why I started the journey in the first place, and then you're able to push on.
I'm just thinking there would have been moments where just everything weighs on you, and in some ways it would be easy to stop. I mean, naturally somebody would stop at that point if they hadn't set this sort of goal.
Yeah, you know, I told people from the beginning, you know, that this is what we're going to do, and you know, a lot of people, you know, mentioned, you know, do you think you can actually do it? And the whole time I've said yes, and you know, that's been the case. And so, you know, there's no time to quit. You just got to push forward.
Okay, and this is Focus. I'm Jim Meadows. We're talking with wheelchair athlete and U of I alumnus Ryan Chalmers about his Push Across America, a trip by wheelchair from L.A. to New York City. He's in the middle of it now. Today's a rest day. You can call with your questions or comments for Ryan at 333-9455 or toll-free at 1-800-222-9455, or you can email your questions to will-talk@illinois.edu. And besides phone or email, you can send in your questions on Twitter or Facebook at Focus580. I want to bring Roger Mueller into the conversation now. And Roger, you're the person who launched Stay Focused Incorporated out in the Cayman Islands?
Right. Excuse me. I started the organization 10 years ago. in Grand Cayman. That's where we run our programs.
Okay. And tell me about the program.
Basically, you know, as Ryan knows, I was inspired to start the organization by my older brother who uses a wheelchair. He's a paraplegic and has used a wheelchair for a long time. He got certified in diving relatively late in life. And he and I went for a dive together in Grand Cayman in 2000. At that point, I'd already decided I wanted to start a nonprofit. And seeing how much he enjoyed being out of his wheelchair and in the water, I decided this would be a wonderful opportunity for any young person with a disability to have this experience.
Tell me about that experience, being in the water. And I don't know whether it's an extra challenge or if it's sort of a liberation, not having full use of your legs, doing scuba diving.
You know, I've been doing sports ever since I was 8 years old. I've tried a bunch of different sports, you know, soccer, baseball. And, you know, scuba diving is one of those sports where you can, you know, go in the water and, you know, dive, and you can look over to your left and see, you know, Roger, an able-bodied person, and, you know, you're doing the exact same thing that he is. There's no adaptive equipment on you. And so it's the only sport that I've ever done that allows that.
You can cast the wheelchair away for that period.
Right. And it's just a sense of freedom.
Now, see, I don't know where the limitations begin. I mean, what muscles you need to be able to move easily in the water, are they all available to you?
Yeah, I use my arms. And, you know, so, you know, when an able-bodied person is diving, they'll use their legs. That's the only difference. And so, you know, it's pretty much as easy for me as it is for them, because, you know, when you're diving, you know, you're not going for speed. You're not sprinting around. You just want to see what, you know, the water has to offer. And so you're just going nice and easy. And, you know, it's an incredible experience.
Roger, with this program, you work with kids with different sorts of disabilities?
Right. All different kinds of physical disabilities. It is a legitimate PADI certification, so there's an academic portion as well as the skills. And so we have to assess the candidates very carefully and focus on teens and young adults with physical disabilities who we feel will be able to complete the program successfully.
Might there be someone in different situations? Someone may not have full use of their legs, but maybe someone else has a different disability, perhaps not full use of arms or something like that?
Typically, as Ryan mentioned, they do have use of their arms. I mean, we have had, for example, a number of young people with cerebral palsy who may be hemiplegic, for example, and they don't have use of basically the right side of their body is somewhat constrained. And we can work around that. But for the most part, the participants in our programs have use of their arms.
Besides getting this skill, and you know this, and I can see scuba diving can be rewarding for anybody. What do you think it does for the people in this program?
Well, we've been very fortunate. We've had great success. We've successfully certified about 70 teens and young adults with disabilities, and the takeaways have been universally the same. The participants feel more confident about themselves, and one of our goals was to target an age group where we felt we could have the most impact. It also encourages them to try new things because most of our participants and their parents, for that matter, never thought that they would learn to scuba dive, no less in the Cayman Islands. And we've also learned that the program, one of the benefits is that they learn to set higher goals, that, you know, whether they're already competing in sports or maybe it's an academic goal, as a result of their stay-focused experience, they tell us that, you know, I'm going to try a little bit harder. You know, maybe I'm going to, you know, establish a new PR, or maybe I'm going to, you know, try to get a higher GPA. So we've been really thrilled with the long-lasting impact that the program seems to have on these young people.
Ryan, can you attest to that? Did that make a change in your life?
It absolutely did. Yes, and that's why in 2005, you know, when I went through the program, I knew immediately.
And you were how old in 2005?
I was 15.
Okay.
And so I knew that I wanted to be able to make a difference in the organization right away. And also I was given the opportunity in 2007 to become the first mentor of the program, which meant that I was able to come back through the program and mentor, you know, first-time divers. And that was giving me the opportunity, because when you're young, you're going through one of these programs, you don't really see the change that's going in within yourself. And I was given the opportunity to see the change within other people.
See, it doesn't feel dramatic when it's happening to you, but you saw dramatic things happen to other people, and then maybe other people had seen that happen to you.
Right, and you just, yeah, and it really shows you, you know, the differences that it's made in yourself and within others.
Mm-hmm. We have an email. I think someone transcribed this for this person, but he writes, "Hi, my name is Corbin, and I am 6 years old. I met you yesterday and asked you about crossing bridges. I have another two questions." You remember this guy?
I do remember.
Okay.
Corbin.
I have another two questions. What do you find difficult, and what do you enjoy?
You know, difficult. Let me think. Definitely, there are definitely elements going across the country that I have found quite difficult. Heat is probably my biggest thing, and it's actually, you know, it hasn't happened too much, but there's definitely been times where, you know, going into the push, I didn't think heat would affect me that much, but when I'm in it for 3, 4, 5 hours in a day, you know, it can kind of change you mentally. Going across the country, you have to stop and think a lot more. It kind of just tries to stray you a little bit because your mind is going to try to mess with you a little bit more than your body will. You can push on as much as you want, but your mind is going to kind of stray you. So, you know, I definitely have found moments where it was hot and I've had to, you know, put a cold cloth over my head and be, you know, just sit down for a second and recoup. And so that was probably, you know, one of the biggest elements that has affected me, along with, you know, elevation or wind going across the country as well. But I think that heat affects me the most, you know. And then the second question was,
what do you enjoy?
You know, I've really enjoyed the entire experience. You know, there have been difficult times, like I mentioned. But what's so great about going across the country, you know, I've never driven across the country before. I've hit a lot of cities that I've never been to before, that some I've never even heard of before this Push Across America campaign. And so what's so great about it is that each day has something to offer. And so there's always those memorable moments in each day. And so that's what's been so phenomenal going across the country, is you have those moments.
You've been stopping at various cities across the way, and I take it meeting with groups of people with disabilities?
Yeah.
Mostly young people, has it been?
Yeah, yeah. And so, yeah, we've had a great opportunity to meet with a bunch of people going across the country with disabilities and without disabilities, and be able to tell our stories, and they're able to tell us theirs. And it's made it a lot of fun.
What's your message for people when you talk to them?
It's really just, you know, never give up. Stay focused. You know, if you're passionate, set goals for yourself and, you know, achieve.
Okay. And besides the scheduled stops, have you had any sort of unscheduled experiences along the way? Any chance encounters, meeting people, other things that have happened as you make this trip?
Well, we've definitely had people, you know, just driving past us, seeing us, and you know, stopping on the side of the road, and we'll pull over and chat with them for a little bit. And so that's always fun. We've had great responses going across the country. And so we've had people, you know, who work with newspapers or what have you, and they'll stop us, and, you know, it's an unscheduled, you know, stop, but, and it will take a couple of minutes, but it's fun, and we're trying to build as much awareness for the campaign as possible. So it's great experiences for us.
Well, if you go to the Push Across America website, you'll see Ryan's route. I understand they may fine-tune it along the way. But just in our area, you're scheduled to leave, I guess, around 7:30 tomorrow morning.
Yeah, I'm heading out 7:30 tomorrow morning.
You'll be. I was looking at the map, and at least as scheduled, you'll be leaving Urbana via Washington Street. You'll cross the Salt Fork on Homer Lake Road, then Lincoln Trail Road. You know, if you really want to get a look at him, he's turning south at Wilson Airport. He follows various back roads into Fairmont. These are small towns in Unionville, which is just south of Westville. And then you'll join Mill Road, and you'll take that to the Indiana state line. Then it's Onondaga, across the Wabash River to Rockville, Bainbridge, and onward to Indianapolis, which I guess is your next big, that's where you'll be stopping on Saturday.
Yep. Yeah, I have two rest days then, which will be nice for the entire team to just kind of get a time to relax. We're actually on the 25th, we're going to do a lap around the Indy 500 track, which will be fun, and then just kind of hang out. The whole team will just have time to relax for a little bit.
I just got an email in from my producer, Lindsay Moon, who does a little running herself.
Mm-hmm.
She was in I don't know if she's done full marathon. She's done marathon relays.
Okay.
And participated in the one here in Champaign-Urbana a few months ago. But in her words, he is doing an insane thing with his body. What's your diet look like during this trip?
You know, we definitely monitor, you know, my weight. I'll weigh myself in the morning and I'll weigh myself at night, make sure that I'm not, you know, losing too much weight going across the country. It has definitely fluctuated as I'm going across, especially during days of heat where, you know, I've gotten as low as 120. And usually I'm around 125. And so, and then that's just kind of water weight that you lose going across the country. But typically in the morning, you know, we'll stay at hotels going across the country. And so we'll eat just a basic continental breakfast, depending on how hungry I am in the morning. And so it would just be like a cereal or a yogurt or sometimes eggs. And then each hour that I'm pushing, I'll stop on the side of the road or, you know, you'll get in a shoulder and or, you know, gas station. And I'll take, you know, 5-minute break, drink some water, Gatorade, pomegranate juice. And then I'll have, you know, a Gatorade chew or a Clif Bar just to kind of get a little bit of energy as I'm going across. And that will happen actually every hour. And then we typically take a lunch break around 11:30. And so I'll eat like a half sandwich with just your basic meats in there. And then, you know, banana peppers. I love banana peppers. And, you know, some spinach. And then you'll have a little parfait on the side and some hummus and chips. And then, you know, you'll push on again. And at the end, you'll eat whatever, you know, restaurants are in the area for dinner.
This just doesn't sound like the sort of diet for 60 miles a day.
Yeah.
You must be burning it very efficiently.
Yeah, yeah, we've been trying and we've monitored the weight, so you know it's gone really well for me so far. I'm really used to, and I'm still not used to eating, you know, a lunch and then going to push for, you know, 3-4 more hours. And so, you know, that's something that I had to get used to early on, and it's gotten a little bit better as I'm going across the country. But you know, we definitely monitor it, and you know, have those snacks that I don't normally have, so. It's good.
Let's go to a phone call. And line one, we have Marion in Urbana. Good morning. You're on the air on Focus.
Hi. I had a two-part question, one related to your current trip, but the other actually more to wheelchair racing. And that is, you know, I've watched bicycle racing, and I know team tactics and drafting play a huge part in bicycle racing, and I didn't know if that was true of wheelchair racing. And then the second thing is, if it is, has that been a big adjustment for your solo trip now, not to have the ability to maybe rest a little bit and draft off of someone else?
Yeah, drafting definitely happens in competitive racing. You know, it'll happen when you're a junior athlete, and it'll go all the way up to Paralympics. You know, we get a big draft hiding behind, you know, another wheelchair athlete. So that definitely helps in any race. And, you know, going across the country, there have been times, you know, when a biker comes next to me, and sometimes they'll, you know, be on the right side with a nice crosswind. And, you know, so I'll be able to get a little bit of break there. But typically when I'm pushing by myself, you know, it is one of those things that you just have to anticipate that, you know, you're not really able, you don't draft as much as you normally would. And so it will, sometimes when you have a crosswind or sometimes when you have a headwind, you know, you just have to anticipate that that day is going to take longer than you originally intended it to. Because if we had a tailwind, you know, you would end 2 hours earlier than if you had a headwind. And so that's just something that we anticipate, and we kind of just push on from there. And you always kind of hope that there's a tailwind, you know, to your back. And which was the case actually yesterday when I pushed the 71 miles into Champaign. We pretty much had a tailwind the entire time and ended a lot earlier than we originally thought we were going to. And so those are always the really, really good days.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Marion. And we have another caller now on line four, Amy, calling from Illinois. Amy, I understand that your daughter was an old classmate of Ryan's.
Yes, she was.
And yes, go ahead.
Thank you. And I just wanted to say hi to Ryan. And I have enjoyed following you on Facebook.
How you doing?
And I think I'm great. And maybe someday we'll get a chance to meet.
Absolutely.
But, like I said, it's been a pleasure watching you and following you on Facebook. And you're an inspiration to everyone.
Thank you very much.
So you take care, Ryan, and keep pushing.
All right. Thank you.
Bye, hon.
Thank you very much, Amy. Your fan base is definitely following you. We have an email from Len Lehman Tell Ryan and Roger that we are listening in the Cayman Islands online and proud of Ryan's achievements in this journey. Ryan is a great inspiration. We are cheering for him and stay focused. We are proud that they choose Cayman as their destination. And I take it you both know who Len Lehman is.
Oh, yeah. He's a good guy. He does a lot of good work in Grand Cayman. Thank you, Len.
Yes, thank you.
Okay. It's time for a short break, and we'll be back in a moment with more from Ryan Chalmers. This is Focus on WILL. Welcome back to Focus. I'm Jim Meadows, and my guest is Ryan Chalmers, who is resting today. But for most of the last several weeks and a few weeks to come, he's been in a racing wheelchair pushing across America, and that's the name of the project, Push Across America, from Los Angeles back in April to New York City in June. It's a way to tell people, and especially people with disabilities, what their potentials are. And he's doing this on behalf of Stay Focused Incorporated, which is a program out in the Cayman Islands, which teaches scuba diving skills to people with disabilities. You can call and talk to Ryan with your questions and comments at 333-9455 or toll free at 1-800-222-9455. You can email us at will-talk@illinois.edu. We're on Twitter and Facebook at Focus580, and the phone number again, 333-WILL or 1-800-222-WILL. Beth in Normal emails, I so admire your efforts and achievements. Two questions. Are you familiar with mindfulness meditation? Is this anything that you find yourself using as you go through this process?
You know, there's definitely been times where I've had to just be by myself and just think. And so, you know, I've never been one to meditate before the push. And, you know, it's definitely, I've just had moments where I've had to get time to myself and just think, relax, and then I can push forward.
And by thinking, is that a way to bring you out of everything that you're going through, or are you just trying to focus on what you're doing right now?
Yeah, it's really focusing on the goal. You know, because your mind can kind of stray. You can start thinking more about, you know, your back hurting or your shoulders hurting. And, you know, just stopping and thinking kind of just sets your mind a little bit and makes you focus on the goal.
Beth was also wondering, how are you going to continue your efforts as you grow older? And I was thinking, you know, you're about 24 years old now. You're probably at your physical peak. And but that's not always going to be the case. Is this, but do you think you'll have... You think you'll have physical reserves that you're going to be able to work with even as your peak performance diminishes?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I'm going to be, you know, wheelchair racing for a very long time. I'm going to be, after the Push Across America, I'm going to be very focused on Rio for the 2016 Paralympic Games. That's going to be three hard years of focus there. And then after that, you know, it's we'll see. But I'm definitely going to be wheelchair racing for a very, very long time.
How did you first get involved in serious wheelchair sports competition?
So I've been, you know, competing since I was 8 years old. I got lucky when I was young. A woman named Joanne Armstrong came into my hospital room, actually, and she was the coach of a wheelchair track team.
What were you in the hospital for at the time?
Just a surgery that I had. To be honest with you, I don't know exactly which one, because I've had a bunch of them.
Particular complications with spinal bifida or other side effects?
Yeah, early on I had a lot of surgeries just growing up at a young age, and just for, you know, complications or just, you know.
Is that pretty much par for the course with this particular ailment?
It does. You do have, at a young age, you do have to have a fair amount of surgeries, some more than others. But, you know, you just, it happens, and you go on. And I got lucky because I was in the hospital, and she came in and started talking to my parents and myself about wheelchair racing. And I loved the idea right away. I was this little energetic kid who wanted to try things. And so I got the opportunity to do that. And I, at a young age, I also got the opportunity, my first 5K race, I got to meet a Paralympic athlete. And he did the race with us, and I was just so amazed seeing how fast he went. And so that was when I set the goal for myself that I wanted to be a Paralympic athlete. And so I've just been going ever since.
From, you know, aspiring to be a Paralympic athlete, to being one. What's been the biggest reward for you personally?
Oh yeah, no, it's been an incredible experience to be able to set a goal for yourself when you're 8 years old and be able to accomplish it. You know, it was something that is very rewarding, and you know, I have to thank a lot of people that helped me get there. And so it was just an incredible experience for me, and it got me really focused on Rio for 2016.
Okay. What's been the big challenge along the way?
Along the way for the Push Across America or myself?
Yourself, just as a wheelchair athlete.
You know, I think that one of the hardest as an athlete that I've gone through is there was a time early on, I think a freshman, sophomore year in high school, I had a surgery that took me out of sports for about 2 years. And that was really tough for me because, you know, it was one of those times where, you know, I wasn't able to do really much of anything. And then I had to, you know, after I got back, was able to get in my racing chair, I went on the track, and I just remember my first lap around the track, I couldn't move, basically. You know, I was really skinny, and I couldn't move around the track as nearly as fast as I used to be. And that definitely took its toll. And, you know, I remember just after my first lap around the track, I was training. You know, my dad was helping coach me at the time. And, you know, I just did one lap, and I was like, wow, you know, like, what's happening? What is going on? And then I just remember taking the next lap. And then it became clear again that, you know, all I had to do was refocus and get myself back to where I was and then push myself harder to get better.
Okay. Email from Todd in Savoy, who writes that I had the privilege of riding my bike with some other cyclists alongside Ryan yesterday. I just wanted to let him know that it was a wonderful experience and very inspiring. And he wants to ask a little bit more about your support team and the videographers documenting this experience. We should say hello to Edwin, who is the videographer documenting this focus interview for the Push Across America project.
Hi, it's great to be here.
And, you know, that's been part of it. I understand, you know, if you go to the Push Across America website or look up Push Across America on YouTube, you'll find some little progress reports that are coming out of the videos. But I understand there's also a long-form documentary that's going to come out of this as well.
Absolutely, and they do a phenomenal job with the weekly updates, and I'm looking forward to the finishing product.
And about the support team, what do they do for you?
They do a lot, actually. We have a core team of six that comes along. Roger is the support guy. He drives behind me and makes sure that no one comes around him and messes around with, you know, swerving me off the road or anything, and he's done a phenomenal job with that. We also have Aaron Pike, who is my current roommate at the university, and he's a Paralympian as well, and he's the guy. He'll come out and push with me occasionally. He'll also help me with my nutrition. He'll help me with putting my chair together. You know, if I flat, he'll be one of the guys to help and get it situated really quickly. We also have Carla Wessels, who is here at the university as well. She's the athletic trainer for the University of Illinois track and basketball team. And she's done a phenomenal job basically just making sure that I can get from point A to point B. And so, you know, each morning I feel recovered because of her. And then we also have Corey Pike, who is Aaron Pike's brother. And he drives the RV. He's the mechanic guy for the cars if anything goes wrong with that. And it'll also help Aaron with any mechanical problems with my chair as well. And then we have Parker, who is pictures. So every picture that you see on Facebook is pretty much Parker. He does phenomenal photography. And he's also the one who is critiquing the route now. We had a guy named Paul Curley who originally designed the route, who used to be a professional cyclist and has done bikes across the country. And so he's done a phenomenal job with the route. And now Parker's just kind of critiquing it, making sure that there's, you know, if there's detours that we have to take, he'll be the one to help us out. And then there's me.
I was thinking, you know, when you're out there in that chair, in a lot of ways you are alone. You are the person who's making the journey. But these folks have got to be watching you like hawks along the way just to make sure everything's okay.
Oh, yeah. I definitely can look back, and I know that Roger's just staring straight, ready. And, you know, he's the one, he's probably the most focused out of everybody, making sure nobody messes around.
Roger, what's it been like being part of the team on the trip and watching Ryan make this effort?
Oh, it's been a great experience. We really do have a team, and by that I mean, you know, we're all in it for the right reasons. We all know what we're trying to accomplish. We all have each other's back. We you know, we wear different hats as called upon. So I'm really happy. Ryan did a great job sourcing the team. I mean, in choosing Carla and Aaron, you know, in particular to be there with him to enjoy it has been great. For me personally, I feel like I have a front row seat for the push. As Ryan mentioned, I'm driving the support vehicle right behind him. Safety is our number one priority. You know, obviously, you know, our first priority is to get Ryan from Los Angeles to New York City over 71 days safely. And so I feel like my role is pretty important. I want to make sure that I keep a reasonable distance between Ryan and me. And I'm very focused on not allowing vehicles to get between us. That would be a very uncomfortable situation because you never know. You know, sometimes there are curiosity seekers. You know, cars come by and they see this guy in a racing chair and they say, oh, let's get a closer look or let's take a photo. But they could get distracted, and that's the last thing we want to have happen. So I like the support role, and I feel like I'm witnessing each and every day, every moment firsthand, because I see when Ryan has to swerve to avoid an object. I see when he sits up in his chair and he's stretching because maybe he's, you know, feeling a little bit of pain at that point. But I really feel as though I've gone through the journey with him, and for me, that's been wonderful.
I wanted to ask you a little bit more about Stay Focused, and that's how people get involved in it. If they want to take the program, is there a cost? Are there, you know, is there anything like sort of financial aid for people who can't easily afford to get in there? How does the program work?
Well, we've been fortunate. As I mentioned, we've been running programs for 10 years, and you know, there is no cost for the participants, and that's something that, you know, we've wanted to keep it that way. And obviously, with funds raised from the Push Across America campaign, those funds will be used to support our programs. A lot of our participants, you know, they hit ceilings on insurance coverage and whatnot. A lot of them are athletes, and they need to then purchase out-of-pocket additional racing chairs or equipment. And they have siblings. And so I've talked to all the families that have been involved with Stay Focused. And, you know, I realize that for most of them, it would be a financial burden if their child, you know, if it was required that they pay for their child to participate. So the programs are free to the participants. We offer each participant two trips, one to get certified in diving and then one a year later to come back. We call it the reunion trip to refresh their skills. We didn't want it to be a one-off experience. And with the funds that we raised from the push in 2014, we'll be starting alumni programs. So we'll be having our alumni who have been through the programs come back and continue to dive with us, which is one of the goals that we had from the onset.
We have a caller standing by. We'll get to him in a moment. I wanted to read this email, Ryan. Ryan, we so enjoy listening to you today. We are so proud of all of your accomplishments. All of your family in Churchville support you with much love and prayers. Keep pushing and see you in New York. It's signed Grandma and Grandpa.
Thank you. Love you, Grandma and Grandpa.
Okay, and we're going to say hello now to Ray on line 4, Ray in Effingham. Good morning. You're on Focus.
Good morning. My question, I don't think you've covered it yet, but I missed a little section. With springtime and the weather, so what do you do with the thunderstorms and the changing weather?
Yeah, we've actually had very good luck throughout the entire push. We're on day 48 out of 71 right now, and we've actually had one day of full rain overcast through the 60 miles that we pushed that day, but we just kept on going. And, you know, I'll put a little bit of tack on my gloves that I use so that I'm not slipping. But other than that, you just kind of push through the rain. But other than that day, we've had maybe two other ones where it's rained for maybe 30 minutes throughout the entire push. And so we've gotten really, really lucky throughout the entire time for weather.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep.
Thank you very much, Gary. Excuse me. Thank you very much, Ray. We are now going to Gary on line 1, Gary in Urbana. Good morning. You're on Focus.
Yeah, hi, good morning. I just turned this on, so maybe somebody asked this already. I did a cross-country bike ride back in 1970, which I thought was quite a challenge. And imagine doing this in a wheelchair. It's just a bit much for me. My question, though, has to do with legally, I believe in most states, a person in a wheelchair is a pedestrian. Have you run into problems with using the road as a vehicle?
No, we actually have not had any problems really at all. We've had, you know, some police officers come by and stop, you know, Roger in the support vehicle. But right when Roger tells them, you know, what we're doing and what the cause is, you know, they say, all right, just make sure, you know, you stay on the shoulder or make sure that, you know, your support vehicle and your lead vehicle are always between you and keep on going. Just stay safe. So we actually have so far had not had any issues.
Yeah, that's good to know. What does it say on the back of your following vehicle? Does it have it doesn't say wide load, I know that. Does it say anything in particular?
It does say pushacrossamerica.org, and we've also been careful in making sure that we have the flashing lights going at all times, and we've actually added additional flashing lights to both the lead and support vehicles so that to adhere to state guidelines.
Yeah, it seems you have it covered pretty well. Okay, well, good luck with that. It's a great story.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Gary. This is Focus. I'm Jim Meadows, and there's still time for your questions for Ryan Chalmers, the Illini alumnus who's traveling the country by wheelchair in a campaign called Push Across America. Call 333-9455 or toll-free at 1-800-222-9455, and you can email us at will-talk@illinois.edu. The phone number again, 333-WILL, or toll-free at 800-222-9455. WILL. I was thinking of the weather. Sunscreen. What's is sunscreen application playing a part in your life during this trip?
Yes, of course. It. My athletic trainer Carla is the one who always right before I go out on the push makes sure that I have my sunscreen on. She'd yell at me if I try to get away without it. So yeah, there's definitely on those sunny days you got to have your sunscreen.
You've met with a lot of kids. You know, we had an email from one of the six-year-olds who had met you yesterday. Are there any particularly surprising questions you've gotten from kids along the way?
None. Actually, we've had just great questions throughout the entire time. And so they just want to know, you know, how you're doing, how far do you go each day, you know, what's your average speed, all the fun questions.
And how long does it take to push a mile anyway? I don't think we've even gotten the idea of what sort of time you're clocking here.
Well, I'm for the Push Across America campaign, we're going anywhere between 10 to 12 miles an hour. So that's kind of the average speed that we'll be going.
If you were on, say, a marathon, what sort of pace would you be trying for?
Right. So then, you know, you'll try to go somewhere between, you know, three and a half minutes. So you try to keep for a marathon, you know, you can go about 17, 18 miles an hour. On a fairly good day, you'll be able to keep about a 17, 18 mile an hour average.
You just know that a marathon speed is just not going to work when you're doing 60 miles a day.
Exactly. It was tough to kind of figure out exactly, you know, what, you know, average speed you should be doing because, you know, after 2,000 miles under your belt, you know, it definitely takes its toll. So we had to kind of think about, you know, what the best average would be.
Mm-hmm. You were talking at the beginning, you and Roger, I think, about, you know, the point where you came up with this idea to go across America. How was there a point before that where you just where the idea came to you that you needed to do something to raise this sort of awareness?
Yes. I mean, I knew that, one, I wanted to make a difference in the organization early on, right, when, you know, I went through the program because it made just such a big difference in my life. And so, you know, it was one of those things that I just jumped on the opportunity right away. And, you know, growing up, you know, doing a bunch of different sports, you know, the goal is to raise this awareness for persons with disabilities and really just show people, you know, that there is no difference between someone who is an able-bodied or somebody who's, you know, has a disability, you know, when it comes to sports, especially when, you know, we work as hard as anybody when it comes to, you know, elite sport.
Mm-hmm. Have you found, has it changed over the years? I know there seemed to be more awareness, for instance, of the London Paralympics last year than there were in previous years. Have you seen a growth in the awareness of the sort of competition you're doing?
Yeah, I mean, London was phenomenal. They did an incredible job with the games. That was one of the things that amazed me right off the bat, was that, you know, going into the stadium, there was 80,000 people in the stands pretty much every race. And, you know, people that I had talked to that went to the Olympics and the Paralympic Games just to watch, they said that, you know, it was almost the exact same thing when you went to the Olympics and the Paralympic Games, which is incredible. And, you know, it's never been done before.
And then, for instance, was London, was that your first Paralympic competition?
Yeah, that was my first Paralympic Games.
Okay, so you'd never been out even as a spectator before?
No, I never went to the Paralympics before. I went to the World Championships in 2011 in New Zealand. But other than that, you know, that was my debut.
Okay. We have a caller. Let's go to line four. Good morning to Sandy in Champaign. You're on the air on Focus.
Good morning, and I applaud you, and I think it's just wonderful, the focus that you are, and the money that you're raising in order to pursue your passion for scuba diving, et cetera. The reason why I'm calling is not only to applaud you, but also your teammates met you in Decatur and biked with you back, and it was an uplifting experience, of course, to return to Champaign and your friends. And I was wondering if, I was thinking if it wouldn't have been a nice idea, since you spent years planning this, to have had various teammates and friends along the way to wheelchair and support you in your wheelchair mission across the United States. Not just from Champaign, but maybe from Indiana, from Ohio. I know everybody is meeting you along the way, but, or did you want this to be totally solo?
I don't know. Maybe I'll chime in. I know it's a good question because we debated that at the very beginning, and we really focused on the fact that, you know, this is a very challenging event. There are also permitting issues and liability issues associated with having other people involved in the push itself. And
wow.
So we, yeah, I mean, so yesterday was great because we knew the caliber of the athletes who would be joining Ryan. But we've had other requests in a couple of other cities. But when it comes down to it, we'd been advised, again, from a liability standpoint and sometimes for permitting purposes, to make it Ryan's journey. What we've done, though, for example, in Derby, Kansas, and in Kansas City, Missouri, and coming up in other cities, you know, Ryan has been joined by other wheelchair athletes at the destination. And so that's been our way of involving them in the campaign and having them meet Ryan. But for the push itself, we thought it would be best if it was done solo.
Oh, okay. Well, that's really good to know. I understand. Something I hadn't even thought about, but I did see Ryan going down Route 10, and it was just such a privilege to see him and all of his teammates together supporting him and just welcoming him home.
Yeah,
so,
no,
congratulations.
Thank you very much. That was a blast to have everybody there, and it made the 71 miles that we were pushing that day go by a lot quicker.
And scuba diving, to be free underneath the water in peace and quiet, is just the best reward I think that a wheelchair athlete or any person could enjoy. So it really is a wonderful sport that he is pursuing.
Okay, well, thank
you. With the rest of us.
Sandy, thank you very much for calling in.
You're welcome, and it's a pleasure to have you back. See Champaign, and good luck on the rest of your journey.
Thank you very much.
Thank
You're
you, welcome. Sandy. We do have an email signed Illinois Wheelchair Athletics, writing, Ryan has been a member of our racing team here at the University of Illinois since 2007. We've had the great pleasure of watching him grow as an athlete. Yesterday, several of our racers were able to join Ryan on the 71-mile push into Champaign, finishing at DRES. It was incredible to be a part of just one day of the journey across the country, and we are so grateful we were able to share in the experience. Ryan, we will continue to follow the journey and support in any way possible. It is absolutely impossible to fully convey how proud we are of all you have accomplished. We'll be looking forward to having you back in our training runs soon. That's signed, Illinois Wheelchair Athletics.
Yeah, no, it was great to have everybody. It's nice to be back, being able to see everybody again. It's been a while since I've been back here at the University of Illinois, and it was incredible to be able to see everybody.
Well, we're just about at the end of our time here on Focus. Ryan is traveling by racing wheelchair across the country for Push Across America, hosted by Stay Focused Incorporated, which provides opportunities for people with disabilities to learn scuba diving. You can go to pushacrossamerica.org or look up Push Across America at Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube to find out more. And our thanks for both you, Ryan, and for you, Roger Muller, of Stay Focused, for being on the program with us today.
Thank you, Jim, for having us.
Thank you.
Welcome. Any additional thoughts you have about today's program on our website, you can go to it directly at will.illinois.edu/focus. We're likely the first result on your search engine under WILL Focus. Tomorrow on Focus, veterinarians Dr. Brendan McKiernan and Dr. Sally Foote will be on the show to take your questions on pet care. By the way, this is National Dog Bite Prevention Week, so we'll be making sure to have some tips about aggressive pets and how to prevent children from getting bit by accident. And that's on Friday's edition of Focus. I'm Jim Meadows.